busy. Let's get busy with this next session. Now, this next session won't be as long as the others, but it is going to be powerful as we are learning to do what? We're learning to know the voice of God and the timing of God. I say this, and I say it a lot of times, I wouldn't believe some of my testimonies if I hadn't lived them. What? Because it's so awesome when I've heard God's when I've heard the voice of God to do something, and it is his timing, and I do it, supernatural things always happen. Supernatural things always happen. Oh, my God, I heard it. Listen, you hold in your hand the catalyst for your supernatural move of God. You hold in your hand, what do you mean my hand? That seed you have. Well, you got that witness from the Lord. You hold it in your hand. Now, when you release it, you're going to watch God work in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's what I need y'all to do, because I know God's going to move on this. When that person calls, those persons call, I need y'all to wave me down, wave me down, wave me down, and so we're going to deal with that. Amen. Now, I've done this in church services, too. I was in church service, and I says, now, while I'm teaching and God's talked to you, I want you to step forward and obey God. In the middle of my, people say, what? Yeah, in the middle of my preaching, I just want you to stand up. As I've, you know, and I've seen that happen so many times. And in this virtual audience, you'll be able to do the same thing. And now you're not going to be distracting, but when you do it, you're obeying God and you're going to watch God work. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, because here's what we're about to cover now. What we're about to cover now is going to be the prohibitions, those things that interfere with you hearing from God. Then we're going to cover, and I got some awesome graphs to show you, and we're going to talk about the reasons that how to vet the voice, how to vet the voice of God. And in other words, how to know for sure it's him, how to know for sure it's God. And then we're going to close it out with the privileges that I have because I can hear God, the privileges that I have. All right, 1 Kings 17, there is the widow there, and the widow there hears from God through the man of God. She hears from God through the man of God, and the man of God tells her to go on and sow that cake. And, of course, I believe that at the time she was spoken to by the prophet, spoken to by God. Now, the Bible doesn't say which avenue God used to talk to her. Could have been an angel. Could have been the voice of God, but she knew she was supposed to take care of the man of God when he arrived. Possibly she already had the resources when God spoke, but by the time the prophet gets there, her resources are depleted. But now, here's the thing. So, what she had a little bit, but what she had, she didn't think it was enough to trust God with, because she gave the man of God water. Water was valuable at that time. Then the man of God asked her for a cake, and she said, I don't have cake, but I can just have a little bit of meal. Going to eat this, make a cake for me and my boy, and we're going to die. Now, the man of God could have walked away and said, baby, I understand. Now, they would have died, and that death would have been on him, because he was charged to push on to a place of faith of obeying God. That's who I'm sent to tonight. I'm pushing you in a place of faith. Yes. You're looking at your $200. You're looking at that, you know, that $1,000. You're looking at that and you're saying, I just can't. I just can't. I'm pushing you as he pushed her into obeying God. And when she did, supernatural things happen. God intervened in her situation like he's about to intervene into your situation. Now, what I want to do now is let's kind of get a perspective of what we've already talked about, because we have to be willing to trust God at the not knowing level. That's where it's so hard, because if God would tell me exactly how he was going to do something, it'd be easy. But God gives us information on a need to know basis. Give me just a little more volume. He gives us information on a need to know basis. And so here it is that I say the need to know a company is good company. Abraham, he starts out looking for a city, not knowing. And, you know, Moses stretches forth the rod, not knowing. And Joshua walks around the wall, not knowing how God's going to do it. So it's good company to be in, but it's a place of trust in God. Let's do a simple review. we've reviewed. Now, in this session, we don't have to do great reviews simply because you've already have it fresh on your mind. But let's see if we can get our minds tuned in and our thoughts tuned in to what we've already covered. We covered that that God has planned. The amazing creator God, he has planned a marvelous plan for our lives. We're engineered to obey God. We're engineered to hear the voice of God. We're tripartite beings. All right? Please put my perspective up there, and I'll just walk through the perspective on it. And so we talked about how God uses the Holy Spirit to talk to my human spirit. My human spirit is connected to my soul, my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. So I'm going to receive this word from God, but now I have to go through a vetting process. And the vetting process is where I will either reject the word because it doesn't line up with the confirmation test that we're going to give you. Now, the confirmation test is going to be, does it agree with Scripture? Is that situational evidence? I'm going to break it down. The peace factor, the proven pathway, and mature others. That's how I'm going to test it. Now, what am I going to receive from the Holy Spirit? We already covered this. Urgent impressions, intrusive thoughts, insightful intuitions, inspirational messages. Now, what I am going to begin to do now is when these things happen, I'm going to begin to say, Father, I hear your voice. I hear your voice. That's when I start getting, Father, I hear your voice. And watch, I believe that when it's something that pertains to my destiny, God is obligated to make it crystal clear. Otherwise, he cannot hold me accountable. So I don't have to get in a guessing game with God. I'm like little Samuel. God, make it crystal clear for me. All right. Now, so what we're going to do now is we're going to go through this whole vetting process. I'm going to talk to you about, you know, why is it that when I hear the voice of God in my human spirit, why is it that it's difficult? Like some of you tonight, you got that intrusive thought. Yes, yeah, sow the seed. But you choked. I believe you're going to choke before the night is over. All right. Now, let's get to the first point. My first point is the prohibitions to hearing the voice of God. Now, since the devil knows it's important for you to hear the voice of God, he works overtime to keep you from hearing it. He works overtime to keep you from hearing it. Because the Bible says if you'll hearken to the voice of God, if you'll obey the voice of God. Now, we talk about the voice of God. You know, we're using it metaphorically to talk about the various ways that God will bring his direction, his messages to you. You remember that. Now, we gave you a list, the direct method, the indirect method. But now, what has happened, what you need to understand is when it happens, and you hear the voice of God on something. Remember, the Bible says the sheep gonna know his voice. So there are supernatural results from heeding the voice of God. If you hearken to my voice, the Bible says, then God says, you can look in Deuteronomy, it says 28, you can look for these things to begin to happen. So I understand that hearing the voice of God opens the door to the supernatural. If you be willing and what? Obedient, you eat the good of the land. So, what do I get? I get sovereign revelations. Sovereign revelations. Put those up there. I get strategic roadmaps. I get supernatural results. Watch this. And I get situation reversals. Those are the things I get. Let me see if I can break each one of them down. First of all, I get, you know, I'm talking about when I take that bold action. Like many of you have taken that bold action. You took it. You obeyed. You did what, yeah, trembling and trusting, some of you all. Trembling and trusting. There's that person with that 5,000. Trembling and trusting. Amen. And, yeah, I'm going to do you like Bridget did me that night when I was at Apostle Price EIF Crusade. She said, you know you better obey God. You know you better. Yes. And how many minutes? You got 40 minutes to obey God, 30 minutes to obey God, and we're going to hear it, and we're going to all rejoice with you, and you're going to make the devil a lie tonight. That person who's to give that $10,000 seed, yes, you're going to obey God tonight in Jesus' name. You know, watch this. Sovereign revelations. That is when God reveals to you where your favor is. What happened years ago, I'm in a little raggedy building too, in a little raggedy building, and God used this principle of hearing his voice. So he says to me, he says, tell the church that you are going to have a new car next Sunday. Tell them, declare it. So now you understand, I don't have credit, I don't have cash for a down payment, and I don't have consistent cash flow. But I heard God. And whenever you hear God, there's enough what? Power in whatever God says to make it come to pass. There's enough power in whatever God says to make it come to pass. And so once I said it publicly like that, then I start thinking, wow, I don't know how that's going to happen. So that next day, I looked at the newspaper. This person said, this place said, they lend money, this place say they lend money, this place say they need men money, lend money to hard cases. I know I'm a hard case. So I travel all over the city, going from bank to bank, finance company. All of them turned me down. All of them turned me down. What? Every last one of them. The last guy who turned me down picked lint off his clothes. Okay. You too? He said, you'll never get a new car. You don't have any cash for your down payment. You don't have consistent income in your little church. And you don't have any credit. Boy, I broke my heart. I know what God told me. I go back to church. I get on my knees, say, God, you told me it was time. I told the people it was time. I've been to all these places and all of them turned me down. I'm talking to God now. You know what God talks to me, he says? He said, son, you never asked me which place to go to. Well, I'm a quick learner. I said, God, where should I do? What should I do? And he gave me directions to a bank that was maybe a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from the church. I get off my knees. I go to the bank. I walk in the door, and the banker asks me, preacher, what can I do for you today? God's timing. Glory to God. I'm telling y'all, some of these testimonies I wouldn't believe it. I hadn't lived it. I go in his office, and then he begins to tell me. He asked me, well, what can I do? I told him I need a car. What kind of car you want? I said, I want a Mercedes. That's what I said. He said, you'll get one day. What's your second choice? I want a Cadillac. He said, okay, you'll get one day, but what's your third choice? Now, God sent me to him. I don't need to argue with the man. You're trying to crush my dream. That's stupid. I'm where God told me to be. God told me my favor is here. And so watch this. He says, what's your third choice? I said, a Buick Park Avenue, fully loaded. He said, that's a good choice. Go find one, bring it to me. This is what you ought to pay. I did. And so he asked me, he says, all right, how much down payment do you have? I said, I don't have any. I said, but you do as much as you can. I'll do the rest. So he puts in his little calculation. I can do 92% of it. I said, okay. Then God gave me revelation. God spoke to me and says, go to the dealership and ask them to wait until Monday morning for the 8%. God's talking to me. He's giving me revelation. He's giving me revelation, and it goes with the next one. Watch this. The next one, he's given me a strategic roadmap. See, I could talk about the roadmap he gave David and the roadmap, but I'm telling you a contemporary testimony. He tells me to go tell the dealership. I call the dealership, talk to my salesman, and he said, no, we don't do business like that. If when you get the money, then you come. I said, no, I don't need to talk to you then. I need to talk to the general man. I don't care who you talk to. We don't do money like that. We don't do business like that. I mean, he's real arrogant, that sort of thing. I said, I'm on my way, but I want to see the general manager. So I drive up there in my little raggedy car smoking and leaking oil. My car leaks so much oil. There's no way I would have parked in your driveway. I came to your house. I'm going to park on the street because if I parked in your driveway, I would leave a mark that could not be erased. I just thought, okay, watch it. So watch this. I get there and they point. Cause they're laughing. Salesmen laugh. They point where the general manager's office is. But I walk in there boldly. Why? I've heard from God. God said, go tell the general manager to wait until Monday morning. This is Friday evening, y'all. Time is running out. But I believe, remember when timing is, God's orchestrated. He got the right people in the right place. You just got to choose to believe it. I walk in there and I tell him, My bank has trusted me for the next 3 years for 92% of this car. All I need you to do is trust me until Monday morning for the 8%. Listen, the general manager never passed words. He never said, give me a post-dated check and yeah, we'll do that, preacher. No. He said, reached over with one hand, shook my hand. Preacher, you got a deal. With the other hand, he picked up the phone and called Make Ready and said, get this preacher's car ready. He got to have it for Sunday morning. Y'all about to make me shout in here. What am I saying now? Watch this. There's sovereign revelation. There's strategic roadmaps. There's supernatural results. Watch this. And situational reversals. Watch this, but it hinges on your obedience. It hinges on, it hinges on you. Now, it hinges on your obedience. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, let's talk about this satanic resistance. All right? The cluttering voices. The Bible says to keep Satan from getting the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. All right? So, they are demonic distortions of voices of interference. The clutter. The clutter. Now, here's what I mean by the clutter. The clutter is all of the other voices that you are hearing that are causing it to be difficult for you to hear God. Put my chart up here. All these other voices. There's the voice of God trying to get to your hearing ear. We only use the natural ear as a metaphor for your spiritual ear. All right, watch this. But why can't you hear? Number one, you have the clutter of the philosophies of men. The clutter of the philosophies of men. Now, what do I mean by this? I mean, you spend so much time hearing the voices of philosophies of men. You're studying this philosophy and that philosophy and another philosophy, and it is dulling your hearing God. Number two, the passions of the moment. You're so driven by your emotions that you cannot hear the voice of God. Number three, what is that? Watch this. I call it the perversions of the misfits. You are letting people who have no godly, no godly foundation, no godly wisdom, no godly righteousness, you're letting them talk to you. When I want to hear from God, I don't listen to the news media. Watch this. I don't listen to celebrities. I don't listen to people who say they have their own truth. Truth for me is what God's word says. And you can have your mind so cluttered with what this one said and what this philosophy said and what this person said. Watch this, that you can't hear. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the clutter philosophy of men, the clutter of the passion of the moment, the clutter of the perversions of the misfit. When they are trying to make you think their way is right, their way is God, and it's not. All right, watch this. Then many times there is the clutter, watch this, of parental mandates. Huh? Parental mandates. Really? That is, yes, your parents have told you something, you know, and that's why I know a lot of believers are messed up now, because they picked up a lot of error as they were growing up, listening to older people talk. No, you can't trust them preachers. All they want is your money. Where'd you get that from? You got that from home. Got that wrong. All right. You don't watch this. The Bible, that's just a scripture. You don't need to live by that. What? Really? You don't need to preach the gospel. You can't make no money preaching the gospel, baby. Yes, that's apparent. You need to go and get you another profession. Now, if that's the voices you're hearing, it's going to clutter your hearing from God. All right, watch this. Even the voices of mentors. What? Yeah, mentors who want you to live out their dream. Amen. So you got to be careful on what the Bible says. Take heed of what you hear. Watch what you're listening to. All of these things are clutter. Watch this. And then the perspectives of the media. What? Yeah, they're giving you a perspective many times that is not in line with the word of God. And you fill your mind. You listen to more of the media than you listen to the Bible. than you listen to, you know, the preaching of the word of God. So there's all this clutter in here. And God is speaking, but you're on the wrong channel. And then watch this. There is the clutter of what I call popular metrics. In other words, what everybody else is saying. This is how you ought to live. This is how you ought to judge your life. And all of that will cause you to miss hearing God. He's talking, but you're on the wrong channel. Amen. Now, I can go down each one of them and show you how, when I'm trying to obey God back there in 1980, I'm in a little raggedy building. I mean, when I talk about the philosophies of men, I don't have to really talk about the philosophies of men outside the church. I'm talking about philosophy of church people. You know, it was telling me, no, you don't want to do that. How? You need to go back to work. My dad and my mom, you need to go back to work. God was telling me, I'm going to teach you how to trust me. I'm going to teach you how to live by faith. Little old raggedy building, less than 50 members. I'm full-time as a pastor. You know, the passions of the moment. No, I'm not all that excited about God teaching me how to live by faith. I'm ready to go back to work. I want to go back to work. I know how to make these monies. I need to take care of my family. I try to negotiate with God. I teach for you on the weekend. Preach for you on the weekend, but, you know, yeah. Parental mandates, mom and daddy tell me to go back to work. Amen. Perversions of the misfits. Now, that was too many perversions of misfits other than folk who told me I was going to miss it. And then, of course, popular metrics. You don't have enough members. You don't have enough members to be full-time. And this is what God told me. I'm talking about when you hear God. God says, son, you don't work for them anyway. You work for me. Watch this. And he said, I can afford your dreams. What? Put my raggedy building up there. That's why God told me, son, I can afford your dreams. There's not one dream you have I cannot fulfill. And if you don't count the people, you won't be limited to the to the people you count. Anybody getting blessed besides me? Anybody in here getting blessed besides me? So now I need to look at the seven reasons for people not heeding the voice of God. All right, I want you to put my graph up there, the prohibitions to obedience. The prohibitions to obedience. I want you to put that graph up there because when I look at it, I can see why the devil uses these other things to talk them out of obedience. Because what happens is there are these prohibitions that outweigh trusting obedience. Yeah, they outweigh it. Number one, it's a risky matter. But see, in truth, when I'm obeying God, there's no risk. He backs up his word. What? That's no risk. He backs up his word. I read to you, he says, I hasten my word to perform it. I read to you out of the scripture. He says, watch this. He says, my word don't fall to the ground. He says, it accomplishes whatever I send it to. Are you listening to me? All right, watch this, watch this. So, number two is reputation matter. These are things that I will consider that will outweigh my trust and obedience. The Bible says, trust the Lord all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, reputation matter is, what are people going to think about me? Amen. What are people going to think about me? And that, when that is heavy, and when that is focused on, you want to protect your reputation. That's why I teach all pastors, make of yourself no reputation. Because if you can make of yourself no reputation, you'll be bold enough to obey God no matter how silly it makes you look. Amen. All right, let's look at the next one. The next one is relationship matter. Many times obeying God puts you at odds with relationships that you cherish. So when God tells me to start a Word of Faith church and leave the denomination, I don't tell everybody to do that. I'm just telling you what God. All the relationships that I had in the denominational structure, all of those relationships are really relationships that fell by the wayside temporarily because they couldn't understand. My pastor couldn't understand. Some of my mentors could not understand. But that's okay. I did not let that outweigh my trusting obedience for what God told me to do. Really, relationships, we had 300 members, 277 left. 92% of my members left in one weekend. Amen. Watch this. Then there's the reasoning matters. It just doesn't fit logic. Who goes to buy a car with no credit, no cash, no consistent income? Who does that? Who goes 240 miles to a company you have not called on a Saturday when most companies are closed, and to try to buy 100 chairs, brand new chairs, don't want nothing used, 100 chairs, watch this, and never call the people, and you have no money? Oh, my God. That's just a few of the testimonies. I got so many testimonies on me obeying God and watching God do amazing things. Watch this. The relationship matter. What do you mean? They don't have a relationship. The revelation matter. They don't have a revelation that if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of that. That's why you're choking right now. Because, see, you lack the trusting revelation that, oh, God, this is a plan from you. This is not a trick of the ministry. This is not Lord, this is how you want me to operate. I'm a kingdom person. This is a kingdom principle. And see, because the rich young ruler did not have revelation, he disobeyed God. Had he had the revelation when Jesus told him to go and give, he would have done so, and he would have had a return on the, it would have been a hundredfold return. He lacked revelation. So why is it? Number one, it's a risky matter. Number two, people think my reputation is at stake. Number three, it's a relation matter, a relationship matter. I might lose some relationship. Number four, it's a reasoning matter. It does not make logical sense. Number five, it's a revelation matter. I lack the revelation. I lack having spent time enough to believe this is the voice of God. Number four, it is a resource matter. What do you mean? I don't have enough to do that. I cannot spare it. That's a it's a resource matter. I already gave you my testimony about that Apostle Price's crusade. I already gave you that. But had I missed it? Had I missed it? Now, watch this. This is an amazing thing, because whenever you obey God and trust God, it's more than that moment that is at stake. Really? Yes, it's more than that moment that's at stake. Because now the place where I sowed that sacrificial seed that night, New Light owns it. That's where Love City is. I had no idea of the future implications of that seed. That's why I'm saying tonight, God's tugging on your heart. Yeah, yeah. It's more than me asking. There's a tugging on your heart. And you're saying, $10,000, I don't want to $1,000. I don't have to do that. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Now watch this. I'm in the little raggedy building years ago. Put my little raggedy building up there. And God asked me then. This is in 1980. In that situation, God asked me for a $10,000 seed. What? That's like $34,000 in today's money. What? Well, why would God ask me to do that? Because God wanted to explode favor over my life, and he wasn't going to make a special deal for me. I had to follow the principle. If I sowed sparingly, I'd reap sparingly. But if I sowed bountifully, I would reap bountifully. And I got to understand, I got to tell you, I understand, because I told God, put my graph back up here. I told God back then, I ain't got no $10,000. God says, but you can get it. I had to be resourceful. Now, I'm not telling everybody to do this, but I'm just telling you what God did for me. God, I had $10,000 equity in my house. God says, sell your house, sow the seed. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you to do that tonight. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you what God told me. And this is what happened. I said, well, you got to talk to Bridget. He did. We got together. We got an agreement. We sold the house, took $10,000 to seed, put it in the kingdom of God. Favor exploded over our lives. We started living better than many of the pastors who had 200 and 300 times the members we had. Because it was super. It was supernatural. Yes, it was. All right. What is the other one? It's the resentment matter. Oh, my God. What do you mean, resentment? Because you're offended. You can be offended at the preacher. You can be offended at church, offended at God. And that is what's keeping you. Well, God let my daughter die, and God let my sister die. I'd be doggone if I'm going to give him some money. Really? Really? See, Jonah was offended. That's why he didn't obey God. Yeah. He was prejudiced toward the Ninevites. And they're white brothers and sisters who watch us. And now, if my skin was a little brighter, I can't make that happen. But my skin was a little brighter. Yeah, they'd sow into our ministry. But to give to a black man? Really? No. It's a prejudice issue. And because of that prejudice, Jonah, he just, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going there because he didn't like the Ninevites. And when he preached, after being in the belly of the fish bumming him up on Nineveh's coast, and he went and preached, and God spared Nineveh, saved them, spared them. You think everybody was happy? Everybody was happy, except Jonah. Jonah sat down and said, God, I knew he was going to do that. That's why I didn't want to come preach to him. Now you're not going to judge him. Now you're not going to destroy him. Offended. And I'm telling you, that's many times why people disobey God. God put people in their set place, yes, but they get offended and they leave the set place, and they're not trusting God with trusting obedience. Amen and amen. I'm about to wrap it up. All right, now let's go to proving the voice, the heard voice of God. I've heard it. Now, what do I need to do to prove the voice of God, prove that it's God? Now, deception is a mistaken conviction on misinformation. Deception is a mistaken conviction on misinformation, skillfully presented by the devil. So the devil wants you to be, watch this, what he wants you to do, he wants to confuse you. I've taught this with simplicity tonight. God has made the complex simple tonight for you to understand. But I need to understand that there is a work of the enemy to try, watch this, to defame, defraud, and watch this, to deceive you with fraudulent words so that you self-sabotage. What? That you self-sabotage. This is what the Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And they got to put that on there. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Whoa, that's in the Bible. What? Friends, do not believe. And listen, they say, that don't validate what you got to say. Who claims to speak by the Spirit? You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Whoa! So see, I don't have to run around here trying to get somebody to tell me my name. I already know my name. You don't know your name. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a prophet. You need a psychiatrist. And there are people who want from one meeting to another. I want you to prep out. Tell me what the Lord said. I don't need to do that. And then most of the words they give you are not specific anyway. You could have got that out the Bible. Ooh-wee. All right, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm saying the Bible teaches us that we have to, it mandates that we vet the words. When I hear God from any of those, that direct word, I got to tell you, now the devil can make himself as an angel of light and that sort of thing, but that when I get a direct word from God, less vetting is necessary. But these indirect ways, which is the common way that God speaks, I got to prove that word. I've got to vet that word. It says, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good to that hold fast. Let's look at another passage, all right? Acts chapter 17. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So I see with crystal clarity now, God is encouraging me to test the word that I believe has come from him. So Here is how I do it. All right, you got to get these down. You got to get these down. All right, I need my perspective graph back up here. Put my perspective graph back up. All right, watch this. Watch this. All right. Number one, does it agree with Scripture? This word that I believe I've heard from God, does Scripture validate this word? Does this line up with what the Bible teaches, the concept? So well, I don't know for sure. That's why you need to be in the church. Because you're in the church, you can ask them, is this God? And then, you know, somebody would say, no, that ain't God, baby. God wouldn't tell you to covet another man's another man's wife. God wouldn't tell you that. No, God didn't tell you were not, you know, God didn't tell you that he made a mistake when he made you. That ain't God. God didn't tell you he made you, you got a man's body, but he made you a woman. God wouldn't tell you that. All right, watch this. So the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. That's the order of God. For reproof, that's a dismantling of error. All right? For instruction in righteousness, that's a systematic application of the truth. All right? That's what it does. So that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So that you'll be in a place of maturity. So that's the first way. I'm going to vet it. I'm going to vet it. Number one, does it agree with Scripture? Then I'm going to vet it with what I call situational evidence. Situational evidence. Now, the Bible teaches us how, and it's in your notes. Those of you who have the outline, there's I think it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah is he's in jail, and he sees in a vision that he's supposed to buy some property. He sees that his cousin is coming to him to tell him to buy this property. And true enough, after he sees God speaks to him in this vision, the cousin shows up to do exactly what he saw in the vision. And as a result, we're talking about situational evidence, as a result, he understands the outcome. So when I, now, here's what I say to you, because when I want to be able to vet this in the mouth of at least two of these confirming witnesses. All right? So you say, well, God, I want a sign. I want a sign. Now, I don't tell people, you know, well, you know, Gideon asked for a sign. All right, I'll give it to you. But if God doesn't give you a sign, what you going to do? All right, and if God gives you a sign, you need to vet the sign, because you may have opened the door for the devil and say, oh, I can give you a trick now. All right, so the whole point is I need at least several witnesses. But if I have asked God for a sign and I get the sign, because I'm not going to rule that out. All right. So that could be a confirming witness. All right, let's look at another confirming witness, the confirming witness of the peace factor. Oh, this is it. This is it. Because when God speaks to you, there is this abiding peace. What? Yes, there is this abiding peace. The Bible teaches us that this peace, it says, be careful for nothing, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Wow. So I understand there is this peace factor that I have. Now let me talk about, because years ago I asked God, now, God, how can I get the believers to reference this peace? Listen carefully. You don't want to miss this. Listen carefully. So God says, tell them this. Tell them to refer to the peace that they had when they realized once and for all that they were saved and no longer hell bound. And they will, if they can reference that moment when that became a reality, he says, that's the peace I'm talking about. Wow. So listen, and the Bible says in Colossians there, it says that we should let this peace of God So put Colossians up, Scripture, Colossians up there, because this is really one of the key things. It says, let the peace of God, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as an umpire continually in your spirit or in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So the peace is, see, when God speaks to me, I don't care how outrageous it seems. If I got that peace, I'm fine. I'm fine. Now, I got a peace about it. I mean, we're building the superstructure. God gave me a specific day to dedicate it. And I tell you, a week out, it did not look possible. In fact, it looked totally impossible. But I knew I heard from God. And even though in my natural mind I cannot figure it out, I'm not changing the date. And the devil said, no, you'll change the date because people understand, you know, construction don't always work out. I'm not changing the date. Why? I got a piece about it. Don't know how God's going to do it. Don't know if he's going to send a bunch of angels down here to finish this thing. But I'm not changing that. I'm not backing off of what God said. I'm talking to somebody. You have backed off of what God said. Now what you got to do is repent and go back after it with boldness. All right, watch this, watch this. So I said, I got peace about it. So instead of backing off, I began to invite more people to the dedication. See what? No, I'm telling the devil, how dare you? How dare you? I got a peace about this thing. Amen. Now, I tell you, I mean, when I have that peace, it doesn't matter to me how it looks. Because I am totally convinced that what God told me is coming to pass. Amen, amen. Now I'm looking at number four. Come on, put my graph back up here. We're about ready to wrap it up. I know I've given y'all a lot. Number four is the proven pathway. See, after you've learned to hear from God so many times, then there's a proven pathway. This is how God talks to me. So I vet it because, wait a minute, this has been a viable voice in my life, whether it's hearing through your man of God, whether it's hearing in a dream, or seeing it in a dream, no matter what it is. But this is the pathway God has used to talk to me. Whether it's impression, he calls your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. Once I have established a proven pathway, that is a way of a confirming witness. All right, let's look at the next one, and that is mature others. Being able to go to mature believers and to say, listen, I think I've heard from God. I need you to judge this word. I'm talking about a proven believer. I need you to judge this word. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about the accepting public acknowledgement of the bishop's office. So I went to my man of God, Apostle Price, and I asked him, I said, listen, this is what I hear God saying to me. Now, personally, you know, I said, I know the voice of God, but I want to vet this with proven voice in my life. And he says, oh, yes, Ira, you should do it. He says, yes, because there are places God's about to take you where that position in the body of Christ will be well respected and it shall open doors for you. Yes, you see. And that's the thing. You have to be able to have mature others that you are accountable to. Finally, let's look at the privileges from hearing from God. What do you mean? When I talk about the privilege from hearing from God, I am saying the whole privilege from hearing from God is that I'm able to walk in the level of the supernatural. I'm able to walk in the level of the supernatural. Amen and amen. Privileges from hearing from God are the voices of God. I gave you a couple of testimonies earlier about the automobile, the construction. You know, when the Lord told me to go on television, get this now. Lord told me to go on television. I'm in a little red brick building. And this is less than three years after the little raggedy building. What? Yes, less than 3 years after I'm in the little raggedy building. We're in this little red brick building on Jensen Road. And God says, it's time to go on television. What? You serious? Time to go on television. All right, can you go inside of the building? I didn't tell them beforehand, but inside of the building, you can see it's a very nice facility. And God says it's time. He says in the morning, a television station will call you, son, accept the time. I'm going, you know, tell them God's going to call me. I mean, cause I ain't calling no television station. You understand? That's what I'm saying. But that morning, a TV station calls me, Channel 20 calls me. The guy's name was Matt Reef. He calls me and he says to me, this is Matt Reef from Channel 2. I said, hold it, man. How you get my number? Because, and he says this, he says, when this station first came to town, you called inquiring about commercial time. I was an intern and I took the call. I am now general manager. Glory to God. I tell y'all, I wouldn't believe some of this if I hadn't lived it. I'm now the general manager. I've kept your number all these years. We have some programming time, and I want to know if you want to buy it. Well, what did God tell me? God said, accept the time. When the man told me how much the time was, I went, ain't no way, because we ain't raising that on Sunday morning. You got it? But what did God say? Accept the time. I accepted the time. We set a date. I start telling everybody about it. And one day I got raised the offering. God says, do not receive an offering until they see you on television. I'm trying to get a jump on this bill that's going to be coming. You follow me? So we're supposed to come on in the first Sunday in January. I get a call from Matt Reef and he says, I got good news and bad news. I said, what is that? I mean, we've been advertising. He says, I didn't know that the whole month of January, the national sales manager has sold all the time. You cannot go on in January, but you can go on in February. And the station knows it has caused you some embarrassment. And we want to make it up to you. So we're going to slash the price. Huh? And then I'm going to show you how to be your own agent so you'll get another 15% off. When they slashed the price, gave them 15%. Now it's affordable and believable. And he said, you'll come on the first Sunday, I think in February when we first came on. And that was in 1984, Lady B, 84. And we've been on ever since then and have been on television all over the world. But what the key, I want you to see that. That was a privilege because I heard God, all right? So the privileges is my personal testimony. But watch this. Your privileges are triggered by your hearing and obeying God. Yeah. What do I mean by that? See, when I step out, put these final points on there. Amen, amen. Oh, glory. When I step out according to God's timing, I discover provisions previously unseen. Amen. God already knows what he's going to do. Somebody put that in the comment section. God already knows what he's going to do. Secondly, I easily overcome persecution. Why? Because I've heard from God. I've heard from God. And when I hear from God, and I know it's God, I counsel with man no more. Jesus. Watch this. Yeah. When I step out according to God's timing, he connects me with assigned partners. But there are people that God's got stationed in your life. I gave you testimony about the banker. I gave you testimony about the man in Hall's Manufacturing, the president of Hall's Manufacturing. That's you're on a path. Oh, my God. I declare it over your life right now. You're on a path to rendezvous with the favor that God has to take you to your next. In the name of Jesus. Watch this. And then you find favor, glory, in unusual places. Amen, amen, amen. And I have found favor in some amazing places. But it won't happen until you obey. It will not happen until you obey God, until you're willing to trust him, and until you're willing to obey him. God is waiting for you to recognize his voice. And he's waiting for you to obey. I'm telling you, I'm there in a little raggedy building, and I'm upset because I think God's been unfair to me. And God let me know, son, I've never been unfair to you. I've just been waiting for you to use your faith. I say tonight, he's waiting. He waited until Moses heard and stretched out the rod and he showed up. He waited until Joshua heard and marched around the wall and he showed up. He waited until Gideon heard and went forth with 300 men and God showed up to destroy 130-some thousand. He waited until David heard and pursued the Philistines just like he said and brought the victory. He heard, he waited until Mary, watch this, the mother of Jesus, yielded her body to the Holy Ghost. He waited until the widow heard and prepared the cake. And then God showed up. He's waiting right now for you. Who am I sent to today? That God says, I just been waiting on you. And just like he sat there and waited by the well for the woman to come, I'm telling you, God is waiting. He did not have you watch this by chance. That he's waiting to see if you will be willing and obedient. And he already has the good of the